Next Saturday, 17th of August, Scottish poet Don Paterson will be performing at Kilkenny Arts Festival, giving a workshop in the morning and reading from his own work in the evening. His first collection, Nil Nil, published in 1993, won him the Forward Prize. Award-winning author of seven poetry collections since that, including 1997's God's Gift to Women, which won him the T.S. Eliot Prize. He's also written about subjects including reading Shakespeare's sonnets. Don is Professor of Poetry at the University of St. Andrews, poetry editor at Picador, and an accomplished jazz guitarist, and he joins me now from Edinburgh. In fact, Don, you're the second poet stroke guitarist who I've spoken to this week.
Really?
But the other one was a young Irish poet called Neil McCarthy, who gave up the guitar because he wasn't very good at it and took to poetry as a result of that. But the guitar playing is something quite important, and you're accomplished.
I wouldn't go that far. I started working as a musician before I wrote, so that was my intention, and I got kind of sidelined by the poetry thing and sort of gave up playing for a while, and then the last 5 years I've gone back to working as a musician again, which has been fun. So.
Do you see a link between the music and the poetry?
I think any two things that you do, you'd end up making a link. And I used to be quite glib about it and said they had nothing to do with each other, but I don't think that's the case. I think both you're concerned with kind of weighing up sound and what sounds mean, you know, so they do relate at quite a deep level, I think, yeah.
What waylaid you then? What was it that took the jazz guitar out of your hand and sent you the way of poetry?
Well, that was disappointment. that was the fact that I wasn't as good a musician as I wanted to be. I mean, I think the music, unfortunately, is my greater love, but you don't get to choose what you're better at. So I set it to one side for a while, and did the poetry, and I've done that since.
And the Leeds poet, Tony Harrison, was particularly important, or was something that really caught your ear starting out in the 1980s?
Yeah, Tony was the thing that made sense of it, really. I had no sort of, thought of reading poetry, never mind writing it, but I had him on TV at some point in the 80s, and it really was like a key turned in my head. And I'd never heard anyone use language that way and to that effect, so I went and bought Tony's book, and I went and bought everybody else's book, and after about a year and a half, I thought, oh, I'll maybe have a wee go at this myself. You
know? And what was it about Tony Harrison's language and the way he approached things that really spoke to you at that time?
To be honest, it was partly a class thing. I mean, I don't even think about it now, but at the time, the representation of the working class voices was pretty thin on the ground. We forget this now. And Tony really kind of, he was one of those writers who kicked the door down and showed people like myself from that kind of background that they were entitled to at least try to do this as well, and that poetry was for everybody.
Yeah, and that your own experiences are as valid as anybody else's, I guess,
exactly.
was one of the important things he was saying there as well. Let's hear something, if you wouldn't mind. Something very recent, I'm told, very new. I Am Sleepy. Have you been taking this around you? Has it been doing the rounds, or how new is it?
No, I'm airing this for the first time and possibly the last. But I'll just run this up the flagpole. Hopefully it's fairly self-explanatory. I am sleepy. I am sleepy from my troubles now, and for some light relief, confuse the seven dwarfs and the stages of grief. Oh, look, here's wee Denial shaking his head like he doesn't know the girl's as good as dead. Cheery wee number there for you.
It certainly is. But I'm wondering just how nerve-wracking it is. I Am Sleepy, that's Don Paterson speaking to me from Edinburgh tonight. How frightening is it, even at this point? I mean, you're a very established poet, and as Forward Prizes, T.S. Eliot Prizes, all of those things under your belt at this stage. Is it still a very frightening thing to just say, right, here's the first outing of this poem?
It doesn't get any easier, and it shouldn't, I think, I think if it does, you're doing something wrong, and it's just like, and there has to be some risk involved. And that risk is actually looking stupid, looking like a damn fool. And also sort of, I always tell my students, you have to put yourself on the line, otherwise the chances are it's just the same poem that you've done before. So one should be nervous.
And I guess that'll be one of the things you'll be talking about in your workshop, this thing about putting yourself on the line and doing it time and time again.
That's right. I mean, and there's lots of different ways of doing it. And, you know, and one of the most tricky to kind of teach people is that you actually have to very often, in order to make other people feel things, you have to run that line quite close to what we might call sentimentality, which is actually one of the scariest things to do, because, again, it could leave you looking very foolish and sappy. But if you get the line just right, you know, there's a way of the reader investing the point with their own feeling, which of course is the point in the exercise.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, yeah, if it becomes sappy, it might be slightly problematic. But if it's so arid that there's no sentiment involved, which is often a thing that I think people worry about, or it puts people off reading poetry, is this idea that, oh, look, that's going to be full of images and references that I won't necessarily get, and I'll feel nothing at the end of it. Feeling is the important aspect here, really.
It is for me, but there's a whole school of poetry that's just added, and you know, and some people like that kind of thing, and that's just grand. but it's not for me.
So it's not right nor wrong. It's just not. It's not your
that's
flavor.
Right, yeah, yes.
How important is the sonnet to you, Don?
I seem to do a lot of them, which might imply love, but that would be wrong. But it's. The best kind of analogy for me is, I think of it like, as a musician, it's a bit like, as a jazz musician, it's a bit like a 12-bar blues. And I think you can practice it into a certain amount of fluency, so you don't have to think about the form anymore. But you can use the form as a way of drawing things out of yourself that you wouldn't be able to resolve otherwise. So the sonnet really just, it's a bit like the blues. It just says, here's something, and here's something else. And that made me think of this thing. And let's tie it all up in some way, you know. So it's a chance to find things out about yourself that you didn't know you knew, or to resolve or to assuage tensions in yourself that you want to explore.
In fact, I think you have a sonnet with you this evening as well. Now, this one is not fresh off the presses. This one has been out before. You're not as nervous about this one, I'm guessing.
I'm fairly confident with this one. I think it works, kind of. But it was just a wee sonnet I wrote for my kids. I say wee sonnet, but of course they're all the same length. It's called The Roundabout, for Ross and Jamie. It's moving still, that wooden roundabout we found at the field's end, sunk in the grass like an ancient buckler from the Giants' War. Our first day of good weather, first out after me and your mother. Its throwing mass was like trying to push a tree over a row of galleys sealed in ice. I was all for giving up when we felt it give and go. What had saved the axle all those years? It let out one great drawn-out yawn and swung away like 100 gates. Our hands still burning, we lay and looked up at a sky so clear. There was nothing in the world to prove our turning but our light heads and the wind's lung.
That's Don Patterson there with his novel The Roundabout, and Don will be in Kilkenny on Saturday reading from his own work, and indeed giving a workshop as well. You say the 14 lines, that's the essential aspect of the sonnet. How much can you bend the form when you're confined in that way, Don?
Oh, people argue about it endlessly, like, I mean, much in the same way they argue about what is country music. You know, it's absolutely pointless. For me, it's simply a square of text on the page is the simplest definition. I mean, and I always say, if you abolished all sonnets, they all disappeared from the human mind and the corpus, it would be back by tomorrow tea time. It would just reinvent it, because you like the look of a wee square in the page, and it has an asymmetrical break in it. That's the kind of key thing. It has a strange twist, kind of just about two-thirds of the way through, but it goes off on one. And I think that speaks to a really deep kind of and a very typical form of human thought, or a turn that our thoughts tend to take.
And what about the, you know, I think wasn't it Within 40 Sonnets, which was a book of sonnets that you published, there was a piece called The Version, 2.5 pages of prose?
The conceit in that case was that it was a translation of something that originally started out as a sonnet. And it had gotten kind of mangled in the telling. There's a convoluted reason for why that was included as a sonnet.
Right.
It's a fairly hairy explanation.
We'll take it. Finally, we just finish up on how spoken word has come. I suppose in more recent times, it's not that it has come to an importance that wasn't there before. Maybe it's just re-emerged as being important. How important is it in your mind? What is the importance of the spoken aspect of the poetry, Don?
I think we always spoke them aloud. You always test your poems against the air, but I mean, this is a particular kind of poetry, that's become very popular, and it takes its cue from a lot of rap and hip hop, especially, has been a huge influence. But it's also, some of it's quite a kind of secular revivalist preaching as well. I mean, it's when you see some of these performers in full flow, so it's a real kind of diversification of the scene, if you like. I mean, I don't think poetry is a broad church. I think there are lots of churches, and this is another one. This is a kind of a new one. But I've very little time for people who say this isn't poetry, because there are quite a lot of people now working between both the page and the live performance.
And I am sleepy. You'll bring him or her with you for another little while and
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, right, maybe in Kilkenny when you get here. Listen, Don, thanks for speaking to us evening. That's Don Patterson, and his poetry workshop is at 11 a.m. in Kilkenny, Saturday the 17th of August, performing from his own work at the Parade Tower at 5 p.m. on the same day. And you can get full details on kilkennyarts.ie.